Amen. We ought to be free in the house of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Well, while you remain standing just a little bit longer, if you can go in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. And Matthew chapter 13. Praise God. Have you got that in your Bibles there today? It's going to be on the screen for those that don't. But I encourage you to bring your Bibles to church to follow along in the scriptures. It's very important. And I encourage you to get a good Bible. Now, there's a few good translations out there. I normally preach from the King James Version because that's how I grew up. I learned all my memory verses in the King James Version, so it's very familiar to me. But I understand that for some that maybe just came to the Lord, the King James Version may be a little bit hard with all the these and the thous. And so a new King James Version is also very good. I also recommend the New Living Translation is also a great Bible to read as well, especially as you read it alongside your King James Version. But be careful what versions you use. There are so many versions of the Bible out there. Some of them are not even translations. Some of them are just interpretations. Some of them are written by a man giving his interpretation of the Scripture. And so be careful of what version. Get yourself a good Bible, and more importantly, read it. Somebody say amen. You know, I went with a taxi driver one day, and he had a Bible in the middle of the dash, the console there. I said, "Oh, wow, you got a Bible." I said, "That's wonderful. You're a Christian." He said, "No, I'm not a Christian. I just carry it for good luck." I said, "Well, you know, I'm glad to see you got a Bible, but if you read it, it would be much better if you read it." And so make sure you read the Bible. So here we are in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20. And the disciples have been praying for a man. The King James says that he was a lunatic. He was possessed of the devil and nothing happened. They were praying for him. And they went to Jesus and they said, "Jesus, why couldn't we do anything? Why couldn't we do anything?" In the end, Jesus just said, "Come out." And that demon came out. Jesus said, "This doesn't come out yet by prayer and fasting." But Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief," everyone say unbelief, "for assuredly I say unto you, if you have faith," everybody say faith, "if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." They said, "Jesus, we prayed. We prayed our best prayers. Why? Why didn't anything happen?" Jesus said, "Because of your unbelief. If you had just had faith like a mustard seed, you could say to a mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." Matthew chapter 13, verse 31 and 32 says, "Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field." Everyone say, he sowed it. He took the mustard seed and he sowed it into the field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. It's a small seed. It may seem insignificant, the mustard seed, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is growing, it is the greatest among herbs and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. You see, the mustard seed, although it may be the least of all seeds, but when it's grown, if you sow it, it will grow into a tree and become the greatest among herbs. It'll become a place where the birds of the air can lodge in its branches. It becomes a tree. Talking about faith today, I want to talk on this title, walking by faith. Can somebody say walking by faith? Amen. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, that you are our hope. We thank you, Lord, that you are the God of all gods, the King of all kings. Lord, there's nobody like you. And Lord God, we put our faith in you today. For where else can we put our faith? Lord, we put our faith in your word. Lord, the flower may fade, the grass will wither, but your word is forever settled in heaven. We thank you, Lord, that we can put our faith in you, Lord, the unchangeable God. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Amen. You may be seated. Walking by faith. Walking by faith. 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 You see, let me just say right at the outset here today, I was thinking about all the definitions of faith. And, you know, you can look in dictionaries, you can look in Bible dictionaries and all those sort of things. But I thought to myself, well, I've been around in church for a long time. And let me think to myself, what exactly is faith? And I believe, by my definition, faith is acting like God is telling the truth. Think about that. Faith is acting like God is telling the truth. Or may I add, because the word acting may be misleading, faith is living like God is telling the truth. And God is not a liar. The devil is a liar. God always tells the truth. God cannot lie. And so faith is taking God at his word. If the Bible says it, I believe it. But faith is more than just believing it. Faith is acting on it. Faith is living our life according to the word of God. Faith is stepping out when nothing else makes sense except what God said. Faith is stepping out and saying, I am trusting God. We are talking today about walking by faith. Faith is living like God is telling the truth. Faith is taking God at his word. Now, this is what faith is not. Faith is not saying that God is telling the truth. It's not about saying it. It's not about talking about it. It's not about feeling it. It's not even about thinking by faith. Faith is taking steps. Faith always requires us to take a step, to step out. Faith requires action. Everybody say action. Action. Now, a lot of us have traveled over bridges. Maybe I think most of us, knowing Canberra and all the areas where we've come from, most of us even this morning have traveled over bridges. And when you travel over a bridge, the bridge is typically there because two bodies or two places have been separated by a challenge. Now, for some of you, that challenge may have been a waterway. You didn't want to come to church going through swimming through the river. So the government or the council put a bridge over the top. Or maybe the bridge goes over a very, very deep gorge or ravine. But the bridge is there because there is a challenge between two places. Two places have been separated by a challenge. And so when you get on that bridge, it takes you over. Everyone say over. It takes you over from where you are to where you're trying to go. The bridge will take you over. And the reality for us as Christians, maybe you've been serving God 40, 50 years. Thank God for that. Maybe you've been serving God just for a little time. But the reality for all of us Christians today is that we face situations in our life. We are going to face times when we look and we say, what I am going through seems impossible. It is the greatest of challenges, more than swimming across the river, more than traversing a great gorge or something like that. But we are going to face situations in our life, somebody say amen, that are impossible in our own strength and our own intellect. Let me tell you right now, doesn't matter how smart you are, Maybe your intellect has brought you so far, but let me tell you, there's going to come a time in your life, and let me tell you like this, sometimes life just shows up and slaps you in the face. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I thought I had it all under control. I thought I understood it all. I thought everything was going to be fine. But life just showed up, slapped me in the face, kicked me in the shins, and I thought, you know what? I don't know what to do. And that's okay, because we've got a God. We've got a God. We've got a bridge. There are situations in life that may seem impossible in our own strength and our own intellect. Sometimes we're going to face absolute impossibilities. But I've come to tell you that we don't just speak by faith. We don't just talk about faith, but we've got to walk by faith. We have got a bridge that can take us from the impossible to the possible. And it is our faith in God. Our faith in God. Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men, this is impossible. Everybody say impossible. But with God, all things are possible. What is possible with God? All things, not some things. Not easy things, but with God, all things are possible. We have a bridge. And I've come to encourage you today, whatever you are facing, there is a bridge from the natural to the supernatural. There is a bridge from the impossible to the possible. There is a bridge. You don't have to stay stuck where you are. You don't have to stay stuck in the middle of your challenges. I want to tell you today, if you would just put your faith in God, with God, all things are possible. And if you don't use the bridge, you don't get over. That's just a reality. I'm sorry to say that. When you face impossible circumstances, when you're stuck between where you are and where you need to go by a huge challenge right in the middle, there is a bridge, but if you don't use it, you don't cross over. Without faith, Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You see, faith is more than just believing that a bridge exists. Faith is stepping onto the bridge and putting your faith to work. Even in the book of James, it says, faith without works is dead. Let me add to that today, hesitantly, faith without walk is dead. Faith without walk. I mean, a lot of people like to talk about faith, but we got to walk. We got to walk the talk. Faith without works is dead. Faith is not just believing that the bridge exists, but stepping out onto that bridge and putting our faith to work. Putting our faith to work. You see, sometimes we try everything in the natural, but there's only one bridge that can take you from the impossible to the possible, and that is our faith with God. Our faith in God. Amen? Faith is powerful. Faith is powerful. Listen to me today. Faith is powerful. But so is unbelief. Unbelief is powerful as well. You say, well, what do you mean, Pastor? Unbelief will keep you stuck where you are. Unbelief will hold you back. Matthew chapter 13, verse 58 says that Jesus only did a few miracles at a certain place. Why? Because of their unbelief. He was limited by their unbelief. Unbelief is maybe you're struggling with that. I just told you today that faith is powerful, and I also told you that unbelief is powerful. You see, unbelief is so powerful that it even limited Jesus. He said he did very little miracles there. Why? Because of their unbelief. Their unbelief had limited even what Jesus could do. And so we've got to have faith. Faith in what? Faith in God. Everyone say faith in God. Everybody say faith in God's word. Amen. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 5 says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. In the power of God. Now, some of us can have perfect faith in a lie. You know, I know people that have had perfect faith in a lie. In fact, it was Jacob that when he was handed the coat, he had the coat of many colors, Joseph did, and the boys dipped it in blood, and they gave it to the dad, and it was ripped, and there was blood on the coat. And Jacob, what did Jacob say? He says, Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. Everyone say, without doubt. Now, let me go back to the beginning where I was trying to find a definition of faith. That would probably be a good definition of faith, isn't it? Without doubt. And so here is Jacob, the father of Joseph, who he believes from looking what he is seeing with his eyes that his son has been destroyed. He says, Jacob or Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. Let me tell you, Jacob had perfect faith in a lie. What would be the definition of perfect faith? Without doubt. And so Jacob is there. He says, Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. You see, we walk by faith, not by sight. And faith is powerful, but so is unbelief. Unbelief will limit you. You can even have perfect faith in a lie. And the devil is going to come to you with all sorts of lies and all sorts of deception. Make sure your faith is in the power of God. Somebody say amen. Jesus told those disciples, he said, I want you to get in the boat. I want you to go over to the other side. That was his plan. Jesus told them to go to the other side. And so they get out there, and Jesus is sleeping down in the bottom of the boat, and a massive storm hits. Jesus comes up. They go down. They wake the master. They say, hey, we're in trouble. We're taking on water. And you know, they were seasoned sailors. They had done this many times. They're thinking, we've never seen anything like this before. Jesus walks up. He says, peace be still. And boom, the storm stops. Can you imagine? If you've ever been out on a boat and just the water's just so still, just glass. They're just like, and you know what Jesus said to him? He said, Micah, he said, where is your faith? Where is your faith? Now, I've read that many times and I thought, you know what? Jesus was telling them in a certain way, you have no faith. No, but he wasn't telling them they had no faith. He was saying, where is your faith? You see, the reality was that they did have faith on that boat that day, but their faith was in the storm. They were fully convinced, Brother Offen. They had faith. They were without doubt. They knew that they thought that that storm was going to kill them. And Jesus said, your faith was in the ability of the storm to destroy you. Your faith was in the ability on that thing, that challenge that you were facing to bring you down. Your faith was in the wrong place. And that's why Jesus said, where is your faith? And that's why the scripture says that our faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Get your faith out of the wisdom of man and put your faith in the power of God. And some of you, we got faith, but you got your faith in the wrong place. You've got your faith in those things that their ability to destroy you or bring you down. But I ask you today, where is your faith today? Put your faith in God. Some of us are having perfect faith in a lie. The devil's been lying to you for too long. But I tell you, get your faith in God. Open up the Word of God and start to read it. And say, if God's Word says it, I believe it. Woo! I'm preaching better than you're responding today. there's power in the Word of God. You don't have to get very long into the Bible and you realize there's power in the Word of God. Just in the first couple of pages, you start reading these three words, and God said, and God said, and God said, God said. There's power in the Word of God. He spoke the worlds into existence. Time and time again, in the opening chapters of the Bible, we read the words, and God says, and God said. You see, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Everybody say faith. There are lots of ideas about faith these days. There are lots of ideas. Let me tell you today, faith is more than just name it and claim it. My dad used to say, blab it and grab it. Faith is more than just, you know, a positive mental attitude. Faith is much more than that. Some people these days will tell you that your faith is a force, that if you have faith, it's a force that you can just speak things into existence. And of course, For many today who are caught up in materialism and all those things that we would see in the last days, people say, well, if you've got enough faith, you can speak money, you can speak possessions, and that faith is a force that can help you to achieve whatever you want and to get whatever you want. That faith is a force. And to that, I say no. That's not correct. You see, think about this. God is sovereign. Everyone say sovereign. God is the sovereign creator of the universe. He is in control of everything. And let me tell you, God does not need faith. He didn't need your faith to create the worlds. In fact, you weren't even involved in that. God doesn't need your faith. God doesn't need you to have more faith. God is the object of our faith. And sadly, more and more people have faith in their faith. Oh, well, if I believe it and I speak it, I'm going to get it. Woo! Where's their faith? Their faith is in their faith. But where is our faith meant to be? In the power of God. So our faith is in God, who is sovereign. God doesn't need our faith. He is the object of our faith. And that's why in Mark 11, verse 22, Jesus answered them and said unto them, have faith in God. I'm telling you today, have faith in God. Some people have more faith in their own words. Well, I spoke it. It's going to happen. No, have faith in God. Some people have faith in their faith. No, have faith in God. God knows what He's doing. Have faith in God. Our hope is in the Lord, not in our words. Our hope is in the Lord, not even in our faith. In fact, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 says, Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. And where does our faith come from? It comes from the Word of God. God is the object of our faith. You see, there was a man in the Bible that had a withered hand. Now, I love to read the Gospels, and you'll read about this withered hand, or this man with the withered hand in the Gospels. But it was Dr. Luke who gave us the best description of the hand. Because Luke was a doctor, when he looked at somebody, he saw different things. He saw that the man's right hand was withered. All the others said, oh, he just got something wrong with his hand. But Luke is a doctor. He says his right hand is withered. And Luke's thinking, you know, there's a whole lot of ramifications for that, because we live in a world where using your left hand is not appropriate. And he had effectively lost his power. I mean, some of you here today can remember Australia when at school, you went to school, if you were left-handed, they used to tie your left hand behind your back and force you to be right-handed. And some of you were around in Australia when that happened. I remember my dad telling me that kids at school, if they were started using left hand, teachers just tied the left hand behind their back, force everyone to use their right hand. It was even more so in Jesus' day. In fact, the left hand was seen as being bad. That's why the goats went to the left side and the sheep went to the right. If you look through the Bible continually, you'll see that the right hand was preferred. And so this man's withered hand, the withered hand was his right hand. And then Luke and Dr. Luke, he writes, this man has lost his power. He's most likely lost his job and he's lost his strength, all of these things. And so we read that the healing came. Not when Jesus said, be healed. Not when Jesus walked into the room. But when Jesus said, stretch out your hand. That's when the healing came. Because healing and faith is more than just feelings. Faith is more than just believing. Faith is taking action. And so Jesus said, stretch forth your hand. Now this man had two options. He had a left and a right hand. He didn't tell him to stretch forth his right hand. He didn't even tell him to stretch forth his withered hand. He said, just stretch forth your hand. And the man had enough faith to believe that Jesus is standing in front of me. And if I've got something wrong with my right hand, if I can just stretch it, that God's going to heal me. And sure enough, as he stretched his faith, I like to think he didn't just stretch his hand, Brother Ray. He stretched his faith. God healed him. Because faith always requires action. Our faith is a walk. It's taking a step. It's trusting in God. Okay, so he did the word, and he stretched into the impossibilities, and God did the rest. Everyone say, God did the rest. And so we are called to apply the word of God to our life. We are called, when we hear the word, to step out on God's word. We are called to go against the wisdom of man and even against our own understanding, and to say, I trust in God. I trust that God knows best. You see, faith is not just hearing. Faith is also sometimes in the struggle. Everybody say the struggle. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 7 talks about the trial of our faith. And you're going to go through trials of your faith as well. 1 Peter 1 verse 7 says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Christ. Sometimes true faith is not just hearing or doing. Sometimes true faith is in the struggle, the trial of your faith. And you know, when we go through faith trials, we think that they're horrible. But the scripture says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, and when your faith is tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You're going to go through trials of your faith, but let me tell you, just keep holding on to God. Keep holding on to His word and say, come hell or high water, I'm trusting God. My faith is not in the wisdom of man. My faith is not in the storm. My faith is in God. Sometimes true faith is just in the trial. Paul even said he had to fight for his faith. Fight. Everyone say fight. We will see times like this. Paul said this. He said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I've got the faith. I've got faith. But you know what? I had to fight to keep it. I had to fight to keep it. I'll tell you a story. This week, Lachlan, my eldest son, was in his high school class. And they were talking about, I think they were talking about evolution or something like that. And as they do in public schools. And so they were talking about evolution, but because they have to give, you know, the other theories, so they said, and the Bible is another theory, creation is another theory. And the teacher went on to give all his opinions about how he thinks the Bible is totally discredited, a bunch of mythical stories, and it cannot be relied upon. And so Lachlan's sitting there and he's thinking, this is really awkward. I don't want to be here. I hope we don't. And he wants to speak up, but then all these friends are there naturally. And so he goes, Dad, I prayed. He prayed this simple prayer. God, get me out of this class. I said, I hope you only prayed that once. He said, get me out of this class. And you know what? The moment he finished his prayer, the fire alarm went off and they all got evacuated. Praise God. And for Lachlan, that is a sign to him that God heard his prayer. I can't promise God's going to get him out of every class. But God heard his prayer. Sometimes we've got to fight for our faith. Sometimes in your workplace, you're going to have to fight for your faith. Sometimes when you're going through circumstances and all your friends are saying, just give up. Like Job's counselors, just give up. Why? Why are you pursuing God like this? Why are you so committed? You're going to have to fight for your faith. Sometimes you're going to go through the trial of your faith. You say, oh God, but I got to keep the faith. I got to keep my eyes on you. For where can I turn? I cannot turn to the wisdom of man. I cannot turn to anywhere else. Oh God, I got to walk by faith and keep my eyes on you. I'm talking about walking by faith. So the scripture talks about mustard seeds. And we often hear about mustard seeds in church. But we have the leading scientist in the world who did his PhD on mustard seeds. So I talked to him, and I'm encouraging him to write a book about why the mustard seed was used as an example of faith. And there's many reasons why. He got a whole PhD on seeds. But we often hear about them. And mustard seeds are the third largest crop. You've got wheat and barley, and then you've got mustard seeds after that. Canola is actually a mustard seed. So if you're going out to Cootamundra or Harden, you're going to see canola. The fields are yellow. That is mustard seed as well. The mustard seed is very small. It is tiny. You can barely see it. In fact, mustard seeds seem so insignificant. However, God's word says, if you have just faith like a mustard seed, you can move mountain-sized problems. Everyone say mustard seed. And so, of course, by using the example of a mustard seed, Jesus is saying, even a little faith is powerful faith if you've got it in the right place. If you've got your faith in God, even a little faith is powerful faith. And go a little bit further. Even a little faith is effective faith. So you may be sitting here today and saying, well, Pastor, you know what? I feel like my faith is small. Let me tell you, don't let yourself think that your faith has no power because it's small. Just a little bit of faith can move mountain-sized problems. But there's nothing about a mustard seed that is really unique or rare. That's the other thing about mustard seeds. It's not like it's unique or rare. In fact, it's a very ordinary seed. In fact, so common is faith that everybody, the Bible says in Romans 12, verse 3, everybody has a measure of faith. Everybody has it. So it's nothing so significant. It's nothing uncommon. It's common. Sometimes faith is just common. Sometimes faith is just staying put until something happens. Sometimes faith is just being stubborn enough to say, you know what? I'm just going to stay where I am and keep trusting God. I know what's going on around me, but I'm stubborn enough. You see, sometimes we think faith has to be so grandeur. So amazing, so radical, but no, the mustard seed is such a common thing. In fact, faith is so common that everybody has it. You see, faith isn't always about the miracle happening right now. Faith isn't always about instant growth, but faith is just standing strong and believing and saying, I believe God knows what He's doing and God is going to do it. I prayed and I'm trusting God and I'm stubborn enough to keep believing that God's going to do what He said He'll do. There's another powerful attribute of the mustard seed. You see, it tells us in the scripture that it is such a small seed, but when it is planted, everyone say planted. Where are you going to plant your faith? When it is planted, it grows and expands. It stretches out its branches. It becomes a tree. You see, but for the mustard seed to work, it must be planted. And if you will plant it, it will bloom. And so I've come today to encourage you in your faith. When you release your faith, whether in a small whisper, or just a small whisper to God, whether in a small step of faith, it may seem small, whether in a quiet prayer to God, maybe you're going to release your faith today and pray the first prayer that you've ever prayed. Maybe when you make your first statement to somebody else and say, I know what you're saying, and I can hear what you're saying, and thank you for caring so much, but I'm choosing to trust God. When you release your faith, you are sowing your faith. When you sow your faith in God, it will grow and it will expand and you will see a harvest. I'm talking about walking by faith. If I was to take a mustard seed today and just throw it out there, you wouldn't even see it. And you would think that nothing happened. And sometimes we pray a prayer, just a simple prayer. We release our faith, and it's like nobody could see it. It's like nothing happened. But if you will release it, let me tell you today, write this down. If you will release it, God will increase it. I believe it. We walk by faith. Mustard seed faith. It's small but powerful. It will increase and expand. Mustard seeds are resilient. They're the most resilient crops. Many Australian farmers would have gone broke if it wasn't for mustard seeds. Because they can grow anywhere, in any circumstance. Arid conditions, they are resilient. Yeah, the mustard seed is small, but it's resilient. Many mustard seeds have kept farmers in the black and not going into debt and going bankrupt. They were able to plant mustard seeds, and it was able to keep them and sustain them through the hardest years in Australia. It's small, but it will sustain you. It's small, but you can't please God without it. It's small, but it will give you strength for the struggle. Let me tell you, church, it's time to put your faith to work. It's time to cross from the impossible to the possible and say, I choose to put my faith in God. Let's all stand in this place today. If the musicians could come right now. Hallelujah. 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 So many times in the Bible, when God was getting ready to do something big, the people had to do something first. Go through. That's a great thing to study. If you have, if you're studying your Bible, go through and study when God did something big. What did the people do? Because you'll find that whenever God was getting ready to do something big, the people had to do something first. They had to take a step. And you will never get to see God's providence at work in your circumstances unless God sees you move according to His will. Unless God sees your obedience. As great as Moses was, he had to hold out the rod before the sea parted. The priests, as the Jordan River opened and they walked through on dry ground, the priests, the Bible said they had to step into the water. And as their feet hit the water, as they took that step of faith, God parted the waters. Even when Lazarus, you can go and read that in John 11, 39, even Lazarus, who was risen from the dead, Mary had to move the stone. She had to move the stone in faith. God will not move until they moved. It's time to put your faith to work, church. It's time to put your faith to work. God wants to see you believe Him. God wants to see you take that step. You see, faith is measured by footsteps. Faith is measured by our feet. Faith is measured by your walk and not your talk. Faith is measured by your life and not your lips. Faith is measured by your movement, not your mouth. I'm talking about walking by faith, taking that step today. Maybe you're here today and you need to release a circumstance to God. Just a quiet prayer. Just a statement of faith saying, God, I need you to move on my behalf. I need you to do something for me, Jesus. You see, Jesus came walking on the water. They were out in the middle of the water. And when the disciples were in the storm, Matthew chapter 14 says that Jesus would have passed them by. Everybody say, pass them by. I don't want Jesus to pass me by, especially if I'm in a storm. Let me tell you, if you're not looking for Him at work in your life, and if you're not looking for Him in your circumstances, you may just miss Him. And so there are the 12 disciples in the boat, but only one decided to step out and walk on the water to meet Jesus. You see, Peter recognized that Jesus was present. He saw Jesus. Even in the middle of the storm, he saw Him. He said, I want to come walking to you, Jesus. Now, it wasn't crazy faith. And he didn't just kind of just plunge himself into the water. But first he said, if it is you, Jesus, command me to come to walk to you on the water. And so he stepped out and we read that he walked on the water to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he began to sink. And we think, oh, Peter, you're so funny. Oh, Peter, remember when you got out on the water and you began to sink? Remember that, Peter? Maybe you're here today and you say, well, Pastor, I want to step out in faith. I'm going through something. I need to trust God. And you're thinking, well, what if I sink, Pastor? You see, Peter stepped out on the Word of God. He stepped out on the word of God. Peter tried walking on the water, and he failed. You say, well, he failed. What if I failed, Pastor? And I begin to sink. Well, let me ask you, did Peter really fail? Who were the failures that day? Who were the failures? Let's take another look. Because he may have sunk into the waves, but at least he had faith to get out of the boat and to walk. He had his eyes on Jesus. I believe the biggest failures that day were the 11 sitting in the boat watching. Because after all, Jesus was there to pick him up again. You say, well, what if, Pastor? What if? Take a step of faith today. Put your trust in God. And say, I can't make head nor tail of this circumstance I'm facing. I don't know what to do, but I do know that nothing is impossible with God. The failure is to never get out of the boat. The failure is truly never to put your faith in God. Come on, you may think you're the greatest and the smartest person. You may think that you're so smart and you've got yourself so far. But let me tell you, the worst failure is to never trust God and to never put your faith in God. Why? Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Let's lift our hands right now all across this place. I'm preaching today about walking by faith. Somebody here today needs to pray, God, help me. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. God, help me not to turn to the left or the right. Lord, help me not to be distracted. Lord, I put my faith in You. Oh, yes. Whatever you're facing today, I tell you, Jesus is still the answer for the world today. You can look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Put your faith in God and say, God, You know best. You know exactly what I want. Lord God, You're going to work all things for my good. Oh, yes, Lord. Somebody needs to pray that quiet prayer of faith and say, Lord, I'm giving this situation to You today. I'm giving this situation to You today. God, I've tried. I've done all I can. Forgive me, Lord, for not trusting You. God, I give this situation to You. Maybe you're in the trial of your faith today. Maybe you're fighting for your faith today. I tell you, don't let your faith stand in the wisdom of man, but let your faith stand in the power of God. Take some thus saith the Lord and apply them to your life today. Take some promises from the Word of God and stand on the promises of the Word of God today. We walk by faith, not by sight. Hey, hallelujah. Maybe you need to come to this altar. Maybe you need to come and bow the knee and say, Jesus, I'm putting my faith in You. I'm leaving my situation at this altar today, and I'm trusting You, God. I'm trusting You that all things are going to work together for good to them that called according to Your purpose. I trust You, Jesus.